Mark chapter 2, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, that brings forgiveness to our lives, that brings right relationship to the kingdom of God, to our Father in heaven, Lord, that we can indeed come and find healing in our lives through that right relationship with our Father in heaven, Lord. You make that all possible, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, it is the big game. The Broncos and the Panthers. The old Peyton Manning versus the new or the young Cam Newton. Anticipation, expectation. Most likely, the game will differ from what everyone is expecting. Perhaps you remember last year, similar type of setup. Got Tom Brady, the old, versus Russell Wilson, the new, and it was going to be a matchup of the great quarterbacks, and it was going to be a fantastic thing until the end of the game, and the Seahawks are driving for the definite win, I will say. Seconds are folding down, there's no more time, and Malcolm Butler, who is been a backup the whole year, comes in on, when they need an extra back or something like that, steps in front of the pass from Russell Wilson, sealing the game. It has been called the greatest Super Bowl moment of all time, and no one saw it coming. None of the announcers are saying, "Oh, yeah, watch out for Malcolm Butler, man. He's going to come in off the bench, and he's going to make the difference in the game." And so today, perhaps it will be Cam Newton. Perhaps it will be Peyton Manning. But most likely, it will be something that is entirely unanticipated. The title of today's message is Reality or Expectation. The title of the series I mentioned is Selected to Serve, a study in the Gospel of Mark. We do that, call it the Gospel of Service, because Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That Jesus says, "Who would be greatest among you would be your servant." He would be greatest, would be least of all. And so as we come to the kingdom of God, so few of us come in here today looking to be the least. Many of us come in here today looking to get something from God. And the challenge is, we're not so much looking for what he is giving. We are just looking for what we want. Text today we are studying a leper and a paralytic, two men trapped in their situations with no hope medically, no hope spiritually in their day. Jesus comes, the Messiah, totally unexpected from what people wanted. Bible says that Jesus came unto his own and they received him not. He was supposed to conquer. He was supposed to reign. But he came to serve and to be a servant. Now, I want to let you know that Jesus is indeed coming back. Can I get a witness on that? And he will conquer and he will reign. But because he did not do it last time, many people missed him. And so many of us come today to this service in expectation of something that Jesus will not do, and we miss out on the reality of what he will do. And so the question is today, what are you looking for? Are you waiting on a God who will do what God wants, or are you trying to create a God that will do what you want? Reality or expectation? See, Jesus came to put us in right relationship with God, line us up on the kingdom of God. And so many of us will settle for so much less. Shall we take a look at the Word?
Amen.
All right, we're going to go back to the end of chapter 1, and we're going to talk about healing a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy, back at Mark 1:40-41, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. You can make me clean. You can miss what that means if you are not a student of the Old Testament. Because in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, God, speaking through Moses, speaks about how they are to deal with leprosy and various skin diseases. That you got 2.5-3 million people living in close proximity in the desert for 40 years. You got to be able to control some of the diseases that might run rampant through the place. Amen? And so leprosy or skin disease was one of these things. If you had it, you were messed up. And basically, you would get these splotches on your body, splotches of skin, and they wouldn't heal. And if the skin stayed raw, people say, "Whoa," and you would go to the priest and they would inspect you. And they would like put you in isolation for a week and then inspect you again. Said, "Nope, still there." Another week. And then if you were 2 weeks, you were labeled unclean. You think, okay, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Look at you. You guys are looking good today. If you had leprosy back in the day or you had the skin disease, you'd have to wear torn clothes as a display that you should be avoided. You would wear a cover, maybe like women wear, what do they call it, a burqa, where women would cover, they would have to cover the lower part of your face, and you would go around saying, "Unclean! Unclean!" And people would avoid you literally like the plague. He goes to Jesus on his knees begging, "You can make me clean. You can restore me." Jesus says, "I'm willing." And not only, and Jesus touched him. That would have been such a foreign act because no one would touch a man with leprosy or somebody who had skin disease because they would be immediately called unclean by coming into contact with that which is unclean. And the uncleanliness would spread. And Jesus, showing that he is indeed master of everything, says, "I'm willing," touches him, says, "You are healed," and the leprosy immediately leaves him. Life-changing situation. Transforming. No healing for leprosy back in the day. Today you can be healed with a 2 to 6 month series of antibiotics. Jesus was his only chance. Let's continue reading. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See, this guy was healed in his body. He's got to do some other things to establish that right relationship with God. He says, send him away with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. We're going to talk about why. But go show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. You got to go through this process now that you're healed so that you can get in right relationship with the people around you, your family, and with the church and get your avenue back to God. Amen? Tracking with me? Instead, he didn't do that. Instead, he went out and began to speak freely, spreading the news. And as a result, there was a problem for Jesus. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. See, Jesus is a healer, amen? But there's more to the healed life than just getting healed. Jesus came to move us into right relationship with God. And as we find that right relationship with God, then the healing in our life begins to be manifest and we find that fullness. Amen? But so many of us are like the leper. We get the healing we're looking for and then we are off doing our own thing. Can I get a witness on that? See, we all come here looking for something today. And the thing is, are you looking for what God has given or you want to bend him to your will? Because so many of us would create a God who does what we want rather than bend a knee to a God who would have us do what he wants. Amen? Amen. Don't tell anyone. See, things were rapidly getting out of control. He had gone to Simon Peter's house. He had healed his mother-in-law, cast out some demons, and people were coming to the house that night. He was casting out demons. He was healing many. And the popularity of Jesus was growing. Crowds were coming. People were coming. But so often the crowd gets in the way of the cause. And Jesus is trying to keep it under wraps because he's preaching the message of the kingdom, which includes miracles, but so much more. And the people come running to see the miracle and not to hear about the more. The miracles get in the way of the message. People come to God for what they want and have little regard for what God wants. This guy gets what he wants and goes his own way. Jesus heals him, and the response is disobedience, reality, or expectation. Because Jesus' expectations were different on this guy. I'll heal you. I'll touch you. He's looking for more. People come to Jesus for what they want, but they miss out on that right relationship with God. George, George, you're in here, right? We probably served 400 or 500 meals this week. Clarice and Wendy and several of you help in that. And we have shining, smiling little faces coming in for a meal and going away fulfilled. Sometimes they lie. They'll take a second plate. They'll take things which are not due them. They leave and they throw trash in the parking lot and they throw trash down the street. Our expectations are different than reality. Amen? But there's a few. There's a few that come for a meal and find so much more. There are some that come for a meal and find a fullness with God that they had not anticipated or expected. And they find a healing, and that's many of you today, amen? Yeah. Some of you are looking for a touch from God, and as soon as he touches you, you are down the road until the pain gets bad enough that you show up again. But for some, that right relationship with heaven is what you're looking for. Amen. Amen? All right, let's keep going. A few days later, now we're moving from the leper and we are back talking about the paralytic. Jesus was again entered Capernaum. He'd gone out in the sticks. People are looking for him there. He comes back into town. The people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Jesus is back in town. And he is popular. People are looking for a miracle. They are flocking to the place, filling it. People come running because Jesus was working miracles. How about you? You need a miracle today? That's okay. But there's more than a miracle. There's the message of the kingdom. There's right relationship. Jesus is famous. People are crowding around. There's so much of a crowd that they have surrounded the house. There's not any more room. And in the midst of all this, Jesus is preaching the word. Can you imagine hearing Jesus preach? I wonder what he's preaching. Preaching the message of the kingdom. Right relationship with God. And as he's trying to do that, the excitement of the crowd is getting in the way. Many are not so interested in what he's saying as in seeing what he is doing. Let's continue on. Some men came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they make an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, everybody say faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There was no way in. The paralytic, like the leper, is looking for a healing. And because of the popularity of the Lord, the room, many of the houses, I don't know how many of you have seen some of the houses over in Tijuana, the growing edge with the really, really poor people. They got like one room in their house. And it might be like 16 by 8, something like that. This would be very much like a home that Jesus was teaching in. And so the house was packed. And still more people wanted to hear. And they were surrounding the house. And on the outside of the house, on all these houses, would be stairs because they made the roof by having beams going across the walls, and then they would stack tiles across the beams and fill in dirt and thatch, which would be like, I don't know, stalks of hay, right? And they would try and make it watertight, but when it rained, you know, dirt doesn't do so great in rain. Can I witness on that? So they'd be running up there, and they'd be patching and fixing all that kind of stuff. So they have these stairs up on the outside. And so these guys show up with the paralytic. They say, "Oh, man, we are shot down." And they say, "Hey, you know, I think it must have been somebody like Mike Hinson." You know, Mike say, "Hey, I got a way we can get in. Let's go on the roof. We can dig through. I'm a roof guy." And they go up there, and Jesus is preaching. It's packed. It's shoulder to shoulder in there. And all of a sudden, these guys start moving around the ceiling. And, you know, there's dirt falling in, and there's thatch falling in, and it's not the most sanitary situation. And they move the tiles away, and down comes this paralyzed guy. It says he's on a mat. It would have been something like a futon, probably like a thin futon, just like a little pad, like a thick blanket. And they let him down, and Jesus sees their faith. And he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Almost seems like a disconnect. We're not here for sins. Can't you see this dude is paralyzed? No, he's in a mat. You know, he's going to be all bound up anyway. And I got to think that Jesus is preaching about sin. He's talking about how your sin will distance you from all that God has in your life. Amen. That there is a healing that heaven is providing for sin that we talked about in our communion time today, that Jesus' blood on the cross is for your forgiveness. Amen? And he is preaching that you got a problem that you can't get away from. And all of a sudden, here comes this dude floating down from the sky. And he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And everybody's going, "Huh?" Because so often, we don't realize what our main problem is. Amen? I told JJ, I said, where's your skateboard? I said, making the sermon. And he goes, oh, cool. Because JJ had a little issue with his skateboard on Tuesday. And if you got any skateboarders out there? Yeah, you notice right here, these wheels are loose. And so JJ, he rides a skateboard to the basketball practice and basketball games. And Tuesday he had a game, and Lisa went over to pick up Danny and go back later for JJ to watch the game and stuff. And she is flagged down by JJ. Not looking happy. He's got skinned up elbow, skinned up palm, skinned up leg. Because he went flying off the skateboard. He missed the right turn. He got distracted and went to the next street, and the next street's very steep. And he started going down that hill, and it started shaking like this, a little out of control, and he went for the controlled dismount. Now realizing how fast he was going, his feet could not keep up with his body, and bam! And so I go to the game that night, and he looks, you know, he looks like he's in a cast almost. He's got pads up here and white tape on him. Oh, he's wrapped up. Lisa's done a good job. But it doesn't matter how much tape JJ's got. Because the next time he gets on this, all the healing in the world isn't going to save them till these wheels get fixed. Amen? And that's what Jesus is saying. All the healing in the world isn't going to help you until you get your sins fixed. And that's the message of the kingdom. You need to get in right relationship with God. And so many of us don't even realize why. We're out of that relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. We doing okay? Yes. We did good on this, JJ. We're going to fix his wheels later. Not purposely mean for him to fail, but we're going to let it pipe pass us by. All right. You can give to the JJ Healing Fund later if you want. Yes. All righty. So now we're going to get to the meat. Well, we're going to... It's all meat. Amen? Now, some teachers of the law. I'm going to tell you what the teachers of the law are in a minute. Teachers of the law were sitting there. They were some of the few that had got into the room, and they're just kind of scoping out Jesus. Thinking to themselves, I want you to notice that Jesus does read their mind here. Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? And Jesus has a problem with the priesthood, the teachers of the law. They were those that were interpreters of Moses' law. They call Jesus' act of forgiveness blasphemy, because Jesus was making himself equal with God. God is the only one who can forgive sins. And the Jews were very aware of this. In fact, the whole sacrificial system, where you would bring an animal, a year old a male or animal or pigeon or something, depending on the type of sin and type of sacrifice, or grain, sometimes a fellowship offering or a libation offering, you bring some wine, all kinds of things, but you brought them to the temple, to the front of the tent of meeting, where the very presence of God was, and there was an altar outside, and you would give your animal to the priest, and they would kill the animal, and they would spread blood on the altar, and your sins would be atoned for. These were sins like, talk about the leper. If you had touched the leper, or if you touched a dead animal, maybe your donkey had died and you had to drag it off the road or whatever. You touched something like that and you would become unclean. and you could not go to temple, and you could not go and get right with God, and you had to go through these procedures to deal with your sin. Are you tracking with me? Does that make sense? See, there's like this payment for sin, for unintentional sin. Now, there was no payment for murder. If you murdered somebody, you would be killed. There was no payment for adultery. If you committed adultery, you would be killed. And so, the Jews knew that they had a problem. Because, I don't know how many sins that you've got, but coming into a contact with a dead donkey was not a big problem for me. Amen? My willful disobedience, my stealing, my lying, all of that stuff. And I knew I was lying, and that made me a liar. And there was no provision for intentional sin in the sacrificial system of the kingdom of God. And so the teachers of the law, they came along to kind of work things out. They were the experts in the law. I said, well, there is a way that you can get around that. Perhaps you've heard of a writ of divorce that a man could put away his wife for any and every reason. And they did. Sometimes only after being married for one day. And the experts of the law had found a way for good, upstanding Jews to practice sexual immorality and be right with God. They were experts at bending the law so that people could sin and they could make it look good. And Jesus puts it all back on them. Son, your sins are forgiven. What are you doing, man? Jesus makes a display. Which is easier to say? I mean, I'd be blown away. Well, he knows what I'm thinking. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to take up your mat and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Which is easier? I got to think those teachers in the law, they're thinking, well, you know, we could probably find a way for this guy to get around his sins. Because that's what we do. We work things out. But we got no way to say, take up your mat and walk. Jesus says, let me make it clear to you. Here you go, young man. Take up your mat and walk. Jesus sees their faith. Does a miracle. Come here today. You're looking for a miracle? That's fine. You got faith that Jesus can accomplish that in your life? He is a miracle-working God. Amen? But he doesn't stop there. He says, I have greater fullness for you than just this miracle. I have right relationship with God, right relationship with heaven, and what you need for that is your forgiveness of sin. Which is easier to say. That guy took up his mat, and if you remember the healing by Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful for the man who said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that guy took his mat and started dancing a jig. You know what I'm talking about? Acts chapter 3, I believe, off the top of my head. But I got to imagine that there was the same elation in the paralytic. Amen? But there was one big difference. There was no room in the room. And so that the jig that the guy was dancing was on everybody else's heads and shoulders. You know, like if you're at a concert and people would hold you up, that was what was going on. He's going, yes, Jesus has healed me. And all the people are going, whoa, get this guy out of here. And they were amazed. They were amazed. And it was an act of faith. Two healings. A leper and a paralytic. Both rejected. They would have looked at the leper, unclean. They would have looked at the paralytic and said, whoa, somebody sinned in your family. Because God is obviously mad at you. That's why you're a paralytic. They would have been met with quackery, rejection, and lies. Each had no hope with the medical treatments of the day. Each had no hope with the spiritual treatments of the day. And Jesus had come to change both. Jesus came to put each of them into right relationship with God. Come on up here, Lisa. I don't know what you're here looking for today. If you're looking for a miracle, that's great. We have a miracle-working God. But what he is focused on is your right relationship with God. Pastor Scott, during communion, talked about sin this morning. And so many of us coming to church say, we don't want to hear about sin. We want to hear about power. We want to hear about miracles. We want to hear about being set free. But God has a plan for your life. And that requires you would surrender your plan. And so many of us step on the edge of the kingdom of God. And say, God, can you work my plan? And he works our plan. And we turn around and we walk away. Until we need another miracle. We show up every once in a while. We get our miracle and God touches us and we go our own way. And Jesus says, you're settling for so little. Reality or expectation? Because our expectation is small. And God would transform your entire existence and put you in right relationship with heaven. Yeah. Amen. Lord, I thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome, powerful, miracle working, that you are coming back to reign and to conquer, Lord. That you conquered death on the cross, Lord. That you paid for my sins on the cross, Lord. And that I can come into right relationship with my Father in heaven because of your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. And I live as a result and a response to that right relationship. And I thank you that so many have come in here looking for a meal or looking for a box of food and have found so much more. Lord, that there is healing in our lives, that there is opportunity, Lord, for fullness of experience, Lord, for the lives that you have put around us, Lord. As we come into right relationship with heaven through the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I thank you that you are here this morning, that you meet us. And maybe you are here this morning and you are barely hanging on. And you are thinking, I came here for a miracle today. Well, he's a healer. He says, you can ask anything in my name, I'll do it, but keep on asking. And keep on listening because I got a message for you, a message of the kingdom. It's a message of the forgiveness of sin and a message of fullness of your relationship with your Father in heaven. You're here today and you're saying, I need a healing in my life. I feel like that leper. I feel like that paralytic. I'm barely crawling in here, but I have faith that God sees me, hears me, and will heal my body. That's you this morning. I want to pray for you. I'll pray for you right where you sit. I don't need you to come up here, but like the leper who got on his knees and begged and said, oh, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Like those who carried in the paralytic who had faith that he would be healed. In faith this morning, you can just raise a hand and say, oh, God, here I am. My life is so messed up. I got hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I'm so shot out, Lord. Barely hanging on. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. I won't turn around. I won't be disobedient, Lord. I'm not a one-time shot person. Heal me, Lord. I want to move into right relationship with heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I want all of it, Lord. That's here this morning. You're here and you're saying, I need a touch. My finances are messed up. My job's messed up. My house is messed up. My kids are messed up. You're just messed up. That's the place to start. Lord, I'm messed up. I need your help. Nobody looking around at you this morning. You just raise a hand to heaven. That's me, Lord, right here, 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 all over the place. Yeah, we're messed up. You put your hands down. Anybody else? You didn't put your hand up. You just, Lord's just on you right now. Anybody else? That's me. I'm messed up. Back there, yeah, praise the Lord. Back there, praise the Lord. Anybody else? Right here. I'm believing that the Lord says, ask anything in my name, you have it. Come into agreement. Two or three are gathered, I'm right there with you. He's right here in this room. He sees you. He sees your pain. But he has a message for you. He says, I got healing for your life, but I have fullness within your life that comes from the right relationship with knowing your Father in heaven. I have paid for your sins. There is forgiveness for your sins. I need you to move out from that and move into that relationship with your Father in heaven.